listener production.
US investors show no signs of nerves on the eve of an interest rate decision.
And Aussie shares are poised to rise on Wednesday, tracking gains in New York.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wednesday, the 20th of March. Welcome to the CommSec Market Update. Ryan, I must say, I'm surprised by the stoicism of US markets after the way they ended last week. I reasonably would have thought that we'd have perhaps a more timid performance from US stocks in the first couple of days of the new week for them. But as we speak right now, we've got the Dow Jones up by 0.2%, the S&P 500 up 0.4% with a similar improvement for the NASDAQ. A little bit wobbly for the NASDAQ at the start of the session. It was down by as much as 1%, but then it found its footing.
All down to NVIDIA again. We've seen it lift about 2% after the chip maker said its new flagship AI processor, Blackwell, I think it's called, isn't it? And that flagship processor is expected to ship later this year. And CEO Jensen Huang said he is chasing a data center market for potentially greater than $250 billion. So keen to emphasize the fact they're not just into single chips, but they're into data centers.
I think it was interesting the way the market responded, because as we often invoke, the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index sold off in the earliest stages of the session. It was down by as much as 3%. It's recovered since. It's only down by a half of 1%. But notably, NVIDIA is the most improved in the index. It's up by about 2%. And the consensus being that the moat that exists between NVIDIA and its competitors has only widened after what Mr. Huang announced in the last day.
That's a good assessment. So we have seen fellow chip makers such as Advanced Micro Devices, Marvell Technology, and Intel shed between 1.5% and 4% on the back of NVIDIA's update.
So worth pointing out that with the loss that we saw for the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index in the start of the session, it was down by as much as 12% from its recent peak. It's a question now of whether or not it's consolidating, or whether or not what comes out of the Fed in the next day creates further headwinds for it. And that could have ramifications for the broader market.
It could. Certainly, the markets will focus on the updated dot plot interest rate forecasts at the conclusion of the US Federal Reserve's meeting tomorrow. And any guidance Fed Chair Jerome Powell may provide on the timing of upcoming interest rate cuts. So, of course, we're going to get those updated interest rate forecasts, and markets are fixated on the number of rate cuts, of course, for the rest of this year. As it stands, we are seeing the Fed policymakers forecasting just 3 rate cuts at this stage.
Just.
And at the same time, markets are also positioning with that stronger than expected inflation data for potential to change that to maybe even 2 dot plots. So
do you think that that is going to be a deterrent for buyers if you do get a convincing wind back from 3 to 2?
If we see 2 cuts, the 2-year Treasury note, so the 2-year government bond yield, will sell off about 10 basis points is my prediction. And we may see the dollar rally and risk assets will take it on the chin to some extent.
I think you make a very good point. So the yields on Treasury notes this day are down slightly, down 4 basis points for a 2-year and down 3 for a 10-year. But notably, you've just got them butting up against that recent ceiling. So for a 2-year, for example, if you see post-Fed yields above 4.7%, that would be troubling for me. If it's consolidating above those levels, if it shoots through on the top side, that's not a great outcome.
If we see either of the bond yields, the 10 or the 2, at 5% again, the share market will sell off.
That's
really the critical level. We're some way from that at the moment, but you never know. We have seen a big run-up in bond yields of late. They have eased a little bit today. But if we do see the dot plot showing 3 cuts, which is the base case of most economists, the 2-year note may rally by about 5 basis points. The dollar will weaken and risk will be on.
Yeah, so the line in the sand for a 10-year would be around 4.3%. You know, substantially north of that, you are going to be in troubled waters, at least where the NASDAQ is concerned, given the nature of its gains over the course of the last little while. Just quickly, in terms of other stock movers, one of the biggest movers in the S&P 500 there's a company called International Paper, pretty dull type of organization when you think about it, the Warren Buffett type of group that grows trees, cuts them down, makes paper. They have just seen a new CEO appointed that has delivered some certainty, which has been absent for the last little while. More dividend certainty, all of those things have contributed to a 10% gain for that stock. So just quickly, as far as European markets were concerned, a workmanlike effort from the indices there. The FTSE was up 0.2%. French market rose 0.6%. The German market up 0.3%. The Stock 600 index up by 0.25%, with a couple of records smattered in there amongst those gains. But notably, energy stocks were the most improved in Europe. Financials, real estate and materials names also doing quite well.
Energy stocks up 1.4%. We've seen oil prices hit multi-month highs. We did see the US oil NYMEX price up 0.9% to $83.47 a barrel. Overnight, Ukraine has stepped up attacks on Russian oil infrastructure, with at least seven refineries targeted by drones this month, and the attacks have shut down 7% or around 370,000 barrels per day of Russian refining capacity, which has an impact on supply. And we also, as you mentioned, saw financials up 1.1%, with Germany's Commerzbank lifting 3.5%.
Siemens is one of the worst decliners in European trade, down by around 6%. But the catalyst for that decline is what I found very interesting. There were some comments made by the CFO speaking about the weaker demand conditions that the organization was seeing as far as its operations were concerned in China. And that was coming down to some pointed comments around the stimulus that's been deployed, yet not moving the needle on the ground. A very important sort of grassroots appreciation of what's going on.
Of course, on that note, Chinese banks are likely to leave their loan prime rates unchanged at the fixing after the People's Bank of China keeps its one-year rate steady, likely today. So we're expecting to see the one-year and five-year loan prime rates staying at 3.45% and 3.95% respectively. Looking further ahead, sluggish growth and weak confidence call for more policy easing in our view.
As far as the local experience is concerned today, the futures are indicating will be up at the start of trade modestly by around 0.2%. The RBA decision yesterday, you know what, nothing that I would mention in letters home. You could have interpreted that any number of ways. It did have the impact of pushing the Aussie dollar lower, lost a little over 0.25% in the wake of what was, I don't know, a fairly nondescript outcome, I would have described it, Ryan.
Yes, so effectively what we did see was the Reserve Bank watered down its guidance over the likelihood of further rate hikes. So we did see a more neutral policy bias in place from the Reserve Bank. They've obviously got the caveat in there as to the fact that they aren't ruling anything in or out at the moment. So markets are implying around a 43% chance of a first rate cut in June. That rises to 74% for August. The market now has 44 basis points worth of easing priced in for all of 2024.
It would be very difficult to see the RBA cutting interest rates in June, to be quite candid. So I think that's going to see a bit of a re-rating over the course of time. But in terms of the local picture, as you rightly point out, energy prices higher by a decent margin. So we should get the benefit of that. The US dollar index up by 0.25% overnight, which is at odds with the fall in bond yields that we saw last night.
Yes, a lot of focus yesterday, of course, on the Bank of Japan. It ended 8 years of negative interest rates and the remnants of its unorthodox policy on Tuesday. So, of course, we have seen the end of yield curve control.
Finally, the Aussie dollar trading around 65.3, down from 65.6 US cents. Ryan, a featureless landscape today in terms of corporate news.
Not much at all. We've got shares of Kelsian Group and McMahon Holdings trading ex-dividend. All eyes will be on the Chinese loan prime rates around lunchtime. And, of course, the US Federal Reserve hands down its interest rate decision tonight.
Have a great day. It's an exciting window of time as far as this week is concerned. Tomorrow morning, we will be discussing the US Federal Reserve. Join us then. This podcast is prepared, approved, and distributed in Australia by Commonwealth Securities Limited, ABN 60067254399, AFSL 238814. The information does not take into consideration your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Consider the appropriateness of the information before acting, and if necessary, seek appropriate professional advice. Listener.